Welcome to Spiral Network Talk Radio for all you red pill poppers. And tonight, we're going to pop a red pill that comes in the form of exploring the intuitive aspects of life. How many of you have sought the counsel of, whether you call them a psychic or intuitive healer? You know, there's many names that these gifted human beings go by. But, you know, I'm particularly excited about tonight's guest because, you know, in this time that we're living in, there's so many uncertainties. There's so many just chaotic things that are happening within our own personal lives. A lot of our unfinished business, a lot of our past patterns and things that would hold us back, our limitations, they're coming right in our face. And they're literally demanding us to address them and make choices that will propel us into a new version of ourselves and a new greater reality. And, you know, as I'm sure for everyone that answered the question that, yes, they have sought the counsel of a psychic or intuitive healer or otherwise, I'm sure we've all had experiences that range the gamut from, you know, going and having a reading where the person was going to tell you everything from when you were going to be married and when you were going to die to, you know, God knows the list goes on. And I have to say, I myself have had experiences where I totally gave my power away. And why I'm so excited again about this guest tonight is, you know, she is totally embodying an empowering methodology that does not take her clients' power away. She is all about empowering women in particular, but overall, anyone that seeks her counsel. Her name is Veronica Drake, and she's got a wonderful new book coming out called Thoughts, Food, Wine, spelled W-H-I-N-E, and Bubble Wrap, which I think is great. She's going to explain what that means in this interview. But, you know, she explores this powerful life reality in regard to taking your power back. And basically, you know, she's worked with, you know, your average housewife to people that we've heard of before, Joan Borsenko and a few lists of others. But, you know, she really doesn't need to impress in regard to name dropping. Her presence with you, and I'll say her presence with me, we've spoken, and she did a session with me, and I was very impressed with her way of being. Without any further ado, I'd like to just bring her on so we can get straight to rolling up our sleeves and getting into you know, what's up in life now for her and anyone that would like to engage her. Before I bring her on, let me remind you what the call-in number is. If you would like to engage Veronica Drake tonight, the number is 888-815-9756. Veronica, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Hey, good evening, beautiful. How are you?
I'm doing great tonight. I'm feeling good. How about you?
I am absolutely wonderful. I will tell you, though, that being on the East Coast, it is past my bedtime. That's just how boring I am.
Well, we appreciate you staying up with us.
I wouldn't miss this for the world. I truly, I listen to Spirit. And when Spirit says, make contacts and email and, you know, what shakes out and what comes to be is where I'm supposed to be. And I honor that. So you were what shook out.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I love to shake out anytime I get the chance. Okay. So tell me just a little bit, Veronica, about the title of your book. Can you get into that? Just a scope.
Oh, sure. You know, it's interesting because I've always been a square peg in a round hole. And when I went to marketing people and PR people with the title, Thoughts, Food, Wine, and Bubble Wrap, they said to me, you're crazy. That's, you've got to change the title. It's not going to work. Well, the title is the most, it just grabs your attention. You know, everybody's curious about the bubble wrap. Well, that's me. I'm always getting, grabbing the attention. The book, intentionally so, was made to be a very simplistic read. It's 80 pages. It's a journal. I leave space for writing. It's my story. It's anecdotes. It's, I talk, I believe a lot in the power of thought. You know, our thoughts are our energy. And so I talk a little bit about, you know, you choose the kind of life you're going to have by deciding what the thoughts are going to be. So that's the thought part. And food, you know, lifelong, it's been a battle for me. I had a handle on it for 20 years. You know, I was a fitness fanatic, and we talked a little bit about this. And, you know, I've just decided that I've had enough with society telling me the way I should look and how I should feel. So that's my, this is my platform for speaking out. So you get a little bit of everything in there. And again, my hope is that it falls into the hands of the woman that needs it and that she rereads it because it's simple enough.
And what was your inspiration for writing the book?
Well, it's funny because I journal. I just like to write everything down, and I'm also a professional writer, so I write. And I would write little stories throughout my life. Been down there, done that, and kind of took all these little stories one day and went, maybe I can make a book here. And lo and behold, I got a brilliant editor, and I made a book. It was never something that I said, okay, I'm going to sit down and write a book. My brain doesn't work like that.
I hear you on that one.
So it was pieces, and it was filler, and it was, you know, and let me tell you something, the people behind the curtain, you know, that make me, the editors, the promoters, it's way more than a one-woman show, and I'm so grateful to all of them.
Oh, that's precious. Usually, you know, you don't often hear that, so that's honorable. Tell me a little bit about your intention in terms of what you want to do with the information that's in the book. Who are you looking to reach and to touch and to inspire?
You know, my clients run the gamut. You know, as you said, I do have, quote unquote, some very famous clients. And I do have CEOs and bank executives, and they are men and they are women. Primarily, I work with women. But really, this book is for anyone who just really needs to have it. I mean, when I created this book, I said, you know, I give this book the energy to go out into the universe and fall into the hands of whoever it needs to fall into. I literally let go. I totally am about surrender. I'm the person that jumps off the cliff and goes, oh shit, now what? That's me.
We must be sisters then.
So who knows, you know, and it's funny because I joke and say, oh, you know, it's never going to be a New York Times bestseller, you know, or whatever. Wouldn't it be a hoot if an 80 page book?
Well, here's the thing. Why not? Is there a criteria that it has to be a certain amount of pages? I mean, you know, if it reaches the people, it reaches the people.
Totally. So whoever needs to have it in their hand will have it. And I'm not, you know, here's the thing. I'm not a real big pusher. You know, I had marketing people and PR people and, you know, strategize and do this and do that. I'm a very organic person. You know, I just kind of surrender to the process.
Yeah, that's important. It usually falls into place wherever it's supposed to be when you can just detach from the outcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me, what really excites you about your work? Like, you know, what is the main thing out of, you know, because I know that you're a speaker. I know you're an intuitive.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a line on my website, and it I kind of had to sum up, what do I do, you know, and I guess to put it in a sentence, I love connecting people with divine inspiration. And whether that comes through my workshops or through my talks or through my writing or through my intuitive soul readings, you know, I just want people to be inspired and to really grab onto that thought that there's something bigger than you are. I don't care what you label it. It's just that there's something bigger than you are. And you're not alone.
And so when you engage a client, do you access, you know, what do you use within the session to connect mm-hmm. to the specific person and what's going to be the highest for their unfolding?
Mm-hmm. Typically, the way it works is, you know, 10 to 15 minutes before the client calls, I clear my energy, I sit with spirit, and I just give thanks to be the vehicle, you know, thank you for this honor and this privilege, and just ask to be blessed with what comes through me as the messenger, you know, that I can share what's in their highest and greatest good. I will be honest with you and tell you, I struggled coming out professionally with this gift. And I'm going to say something that's maybe very unpopular, but I have a problem with the word psychic.
Right.
I know it's just a word.
Well, you know, probably because it has baggage to it. You know, like I was saying earlier, that all the psychics that I had been to in early years, you know, there are those that go by that name that aren't necessarily, you know, we'll say impeccable.
Totally. And, you know, I spent a lot of my time, not so much anymore, but just ensuring people that I don't shrink heads in my backyard and I don't wear chicken bones around my neck. I'm not doing those things. I guess I'm more of a science person. I come from a scientific perspective with regard to what I do. Everything is energy. We're energy. Have an MRI and EKG. We're all energy. You can't kill energy. It just changes shape, changes form. And so when I'm tapping in, I'm just tapping into the energy of what is in a client. And a lot of times I reveal things, you know, depending on the client's level of awareness, I reveal things that they're not aware of. And it opens up a dialogue. And I'm all about holding the space for the client to reveal to themselves what's going on. I'm curious by nature. So I ask a lot of questions and I get people thinking.
What have you, if anything, noticed in recent time, I'd say like in the last year, do you notice a particular thread of inquiry about specific things that perhaps weren't a part of a regular session, say a couple years ago? Is there a pulse that's happening in these times?
Interestingly enough, and we had this brief conversation before, I did the stint, and hear me when I say there's no judgment. If the call-in lines are for you and you're being helped by them, that's totally cool. But the call-in lines, I was finding that it was a lot of the, and I called it baby mama drama. You know, is the daddy coming back to me? Does he love me? There, for my time doing that, there was a lot of that, a lot of, you know, does he love me kind of thing. What I'm seeing a lot of right now, and I feel like there's just been a shift in the last 6 to 8 months, people want something to grab onto, some hope, something bigger. You know, again, it's the traditional, you know, what about my career? What about my finances? What about my relationship? But I'm attracting a clientele that really understands it's bigger than those questions. And that's awesome.
Give me an example.
For example, I have this wonderful client. She's a beautiful woman, very evolved soul. She's an artist. She knows her gifts. she came to me for a reading, and we revealed some things to her, and she continues to work with me because she's evolving her soul. She's learning soul lessons. And by doing and practicing intuition with me and working through things, she's evolving her soul. So she's checking in. She's doing all of the things that you know, create growth and understanding. And she's learning to live in alignment with her purpose.
So what you're finding is people, as they work with you, they kind of exercise the muscle of their own intuition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I am, as you said, very nice introduction. Thank you, by the way. I am about empowering people. You know, I don't have your answers. I barely have my own answers someday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm only laughing because, I mean, it's more true than the world really knows that, you know, we really are just different versions of the same person. Mm. You know, we excel, all of us, in specific areas, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all in this together. We're all working on the specific things that we're working on. So whereas we might be able to help someone in one area, there might be another area where we need to seek help from someone else.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. And I often find that as the teacher, I'm also the student. I always, always learn when I work with a client about myself, about the world. You know, the moment that you come across the person that says, hey, I'm the expert, you know, I get a little freaked out with that.
Right. Yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Do you have a memory of an example of when you really knew that it was your purpose, it was what was imprinted on your soul, that this is what you wanted to do? And how did that come to you? How was that epiphany given to you? What was that scenario like?
Love that word, epiphany. Just sounds just so comforting. You know, actually, it was November 1996. And I'll watch my vocabulary because we are on the air, but I had a few choice words with the being that I will call God. I didn't want to live anymore. I was done. I messed up my life so bad, or so I thought. I had had an extramarital affair. You know, that was the worst thing you could do. Oh my God. I had two kids. How could I do this? Never mind everything else in my life. And I'm driving my car, and I was 30, I think I was 32 or 34. And I said, that's it. I'm checking out. And I put my foot on the gas pedal and I said, you know, if you want me here, if you have purpose for me, you better speak now because I'm a coming. And with that,
here I come.
Yeah, here I come. With that, literally, there was a warmth that took over my body. And I heard out loud, as if someone were sitting in the car, I've always been here. It's your turn now.
Wow.
And I just, like, you know, of course I stopped careening the car and I went, what was that? Oh my God. You know, and it took me a few months to make sense of that. But as I look back, hindsight's always 20/20. So as I looked back, I really was learning about myself, but I was teaching because I didn't realize people were following me even then. And I thought, oh my God, don't follow me now. But it was all there. It was all there. And so as I got the lessons, you know, I began to say, okay, what do I do with them? So at age 40, I quit my job. I had a really well-paying job, all the traditional stuff that we have, the 5-6 weeks vacation, the great pay, bonuses, you name it. Came home every night, pulled my car in the garage, went in my house, and just was like, all right, what the hell? There's got to be more. So
did you have an idea of what that more was at that moment, or you just were just exasperated with what your present reality was?
Well, I thought, I have it figured out. I'm going to go work nonprofit because, hey, how altruistic is that? I'm going to save the world. I'll do it through. Well, let me tell you, it don't work like that.
Well, what was your experience with that?
One of the most malignant environments I was ever in.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. It really is. The good thing to come out of that, though, was I ended up marrying the CEO. So,
wow. Well, there you go.
So I guess it was a win-win. worked in that industry for a while. Felt unfulfilled. You know, I started dating my now husband. We talked with the board of directors. They figured it all out so it could be legit and it would all work. But, you know, I still had my fan club of haters who, you know, there was sabotage and, you know, and I don't judge. It was just where they're at and I could see the situation. And I said, you know, I'm done. I'm out of here. So in the beginning of June 2008, I circled my calendar on my desk and I said to Spirit, because I kept hearing, it's time to move, it's time to move. I'll honor wherever this pen falls and I will tender my resignation. So in June, I turned in my resignation for October 17th, 2008, because that's where my pen landed. And mm-hmm. I've never looked back.
Wow.
I've never. It's kind of, you know, like I said, jumping off the cliff and going, what the hell do I do now?
Right. But let me ask you this. Do you find that no matter how scary that free fall was, that the life that you stepped into was far greater than the one that you left behind, albeit it had security?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that within the unknown that you stepped into, that it was a greater and is a greater reality than the one that you left behind?
A gazillion times more. I stepped in to my purpose and my passion. And, you know, you can have passion, but if you have passion without purpose, it really doesn't go anywhere. And so now I finally have passion with purpose. And I'm doing... I get to wake up every day and serve humanity and help create a deeper level of consciousness. I mean, how cool is that?
That's totally cool. And, you know, I want to tie that into, you know, the altruistic nonprofit train of thought. Because ironically, it's, you know, a lesson that I have learned and am learning that, you know, somewhere, because I was about to do a nonprofit. And I was driving my sister and brother-in-law to the airport, and the whole way, like an hour in 20 minutes, they were grilling me. Well, why do you want to do a nonprofit? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because of, you know, I want to relinquish that, you know, control, because, you know, I've always had a very, you know, like a leadership kind of, you know, take command kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I wanted to relinquish that and bring in others in the community to make, you know, this great vision happen. They said, well, you can still do that. You can still bring in other people's visions or their dreams and assist the community in creating a beautiful vision. But what is the deal with the nonprofit? Why, what do you have against making a profit?
Right.
I didn't have a good answer for it. And I'm like, you know, that's probably some really old lack stuff or really old save the world stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, and you hit the nail on the head. And I of course, at first I tried to argue and be defensive about my position, but then after a while, you know, logic had to come in, common sense, like, well, you know what, I really don't have a good answer for that, and maybe I need to rethink that, because, you know, mm-hmm. that old spirituality kind of mindset where, you know, I'll speak for myself, being raised as a Catholic, that, you know, being poor and, you know, getting your reward after you're dead and gone and getting it in heaven was, you know, kind of programmed in that subconscious. And I'm like, okay, well, here it is again. Although, you know, layers have been owned and you know, gotten past, clearly it's still there, like little remnants. So I don't know if you come across this in with your clients where you still see the echoes of past programming that are just coming up for resolution so we can get past that. There is nothing wrong with being wealthy and, you know, having the best of everything. I mean, we are worth that.
Girlfriend, I want to sleep in money. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I too struggled with that because I thought, okay, here's the definition. I'm a spiritual advisor. You know, what does that look like? You know, I didn't know how to think about that. Well, I should be poor. I shouldn't want for anything. I should. Well, you know what? God wants us to be prosperous, and prosperity is more than money. You can't just have money and be prosperous. People don't get that.
Right. Someone recently said, you know, the definition of abundance is having what you need when you need it. That could be anything.
Yeah, there's a novel idea.
So yeah, I mean, let's put that one to bed once and for all. You know, we can have it all.
I do believe that. And you know, with my clients, I choose to help them see and reframe perspectives. You know, so we look at perspectives, and, you know, the way they saw things in 1970 might not be the way they are now.
Oh, my God. Things have changed. I mean, have you just, I'll just ask you, just in the last year, my God, everything is so different. I mean, just, I mean, man, everything is. I mean, in the personal life and professional life, I mean, things that used to matter don't matter anymore. Things that didn't matter do. I mean, everything just seems to be breaking down and preparing for a new paradigm of being, you know. Maybe it's after this 2012 thing. I mean, you know, it's all tied together. It's just got to be.
Oh, I agree. I don't have any expectations about what will be. And, you know, I'm sure there are people way more educated than me that can talk to you about 2012. But here's the deal. I'm in the now. I'm right here. There is no other moment except this moment. And that's how I live my life. So.
And here's the beauty about that is because all those that are focused on, you know, what's going to happen in 2012 and all that kind of stuff. When you're focused in the moment and the beauty of it and the joy of it and, you know, you're truly living in the highest version of yourself, every moment goes into the next moment. So do you think maybe when you're vibrating at that high frequency in that moment that the next moment that leads up and beyond 2012 is going to be that experience and that reality where it's filled with joy and the highest version of you?
Yeah. You know, we lost a wonderful icon today in Elizabeth Edwards. And, you know, I'm sure she had her fans and her not fans, but the woman was brilliant when it came to making the most out of life. And I just think that she was an amazing woman who had great tenacity and knew how to live life. She knew she had cancer. She knew there was a diagnosis, impending diagnosis of death, and she just said her job is to make the most of the moment.
You know, I just saw that actually about a half hour before the show on the internet that she passed. I didn't know that she was ill, actually. Were you familiar with her?
Well, you know where I wrote a blog, and you'll have to check it out on my website, veronicadrake.net, and it actually, the blog was about, me spouting off about Riel Hunter, you know, the other woman. I saw her do a news interview, and I was just so infuriated of how she flaunted, you know, and what she, you know, what she spoke about with regard to women, you know, and it just infuriated me. So then I began to research Elizabeth Edwards, and I got to know her more. And I just think she was an amazing woman. And I plan to read her books.
I did not know that that she was an author. What type of books did she write?
Well, you know, her and John Edwards had a son that died when he was 16 years old. And she writes, she's a very eloquent writer, and she writes about the pain and the tragedy. But more importantly, she focuses on the hope and the love that the family had. And, you know, I, one of the greatest things for me is when spirit allows me to tap into the energy on the other side, people who've crossed over, I would totally love to tap into Elizabeth Edwards.
Oh, wow.
So Liz, if you're listening.
Look, you might get a tap on the shoulder tonight.
Wouldn't that be so cool? Yeah, so cool.
So tell me, Veronica, a little bit about your plan in regard to, you know, where do you want to go with this? What is your intention? What do you want to do with this latest piece of work of yours?
You know what? I want to honor the call that Spirit's put in my heart to be the messenger. I want all who are attracted to me to find me the organic way. I want to help raise consciousness. I want to teach. I work primarily with women. I want to teach women that you always have choice. You always have choice. The life you're living right now is made by choice.
You know, that's so powerful. We have a caller. Would you like to take a call now, Veronica?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we have Dawn on the line, and I think she has a question for you.
Oh, very cool.
No, actually, I had a comment about Elizabeth Edwards.
Okay.
Because I kind of beg to differ with your assessment of the situation. I was very angry with Elizabeth Edwards for not going outside of the conventional medical paradigm and looking at alternative care. Because, you know, they had given her a death sentence practically, and she just pretty much accepted it. And, you know, to just chemo and radiate herself to death with those young children, I thought she owed it to her family to really be aggressive in looking for alternative ways to heal. And she wouldn't have died any sooner if she probably had done nothing at all. You know, I really was angry with her about that.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It's something definitely a different way to a different perspective, a different way to look at it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank but you. I don't believe in just accepting your fate. You know, we always have options, and you know, we have to be courageous and pioneers and look for what's out there. And I felt that it was a chance for her to really, honestly, I felt that an education opportunity was missed with the public, and probably she wasn't enlightened enough to know that, but if she could have been courageous and intelligent enough to look for alternatives and say, listen, you know, I'm stepping outside of this death paradigm to seek life, you know, I think she could have done a great service to us instead of just dying, you know?
Well, and I also think, from a different perspective, you know, maybe that was just her choice. You know, if we all have choices and we're all not going to stand in judgment, which is where I come from, you know, I found her to be courageous and I found her to be of strong character. And, you know, I honor the decision that she made. She lived for her.
I thought she was a martyr. I do. I thought she was a martyr. And, you know, I love her as a human being, and I think it's perfectly within our parameters to judge anytime we want to, because life is about judging. But I thought she was a martyr, and she stood by a man, and I understand she loved him, but she did a lot of stuff for show, and she did a lot of things just to be Elizabeth Edwards. And, you know, I love her as a human being, but I don't think she was any great saint. I think she was a martyr by choice.
So, Dawn, let me ask you a question in regard to, it seems like you do have a little insight in regard to saying that, you know, maybe she didn't have the consciousness to even have that in her paradigm of thinking, to whereas it was
You know what, actually, once I called into a show, there was an alternative healer, and I said, could you get this information to Elizabeth Edwards? And I'm sure it was, you know, you can't probably penetrate her inner circle. I know she was a Cancerian, which says a lot about the kind of personality type she is, you know. That's a martyr type by itself. And
probably looking at the generation that she belonged to, I know members of the human family that belong to that generation have a hard time being open.
Now wait, that's a very overly broad, because that is the 60s generation. She basically came out of that, you know, and those were the paradigm shakers. So you do have the people who, you know, want to, as a Cancerian, sit in the corner and lick her wounds, or you have the people who are going to India for cures and going to, you know, Findhorn and all over the world, you know, going up the Himalayas and to Tibet. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't dare swipe that fabulous generation with that broad a brush, because the options were there. But like I say, I'm just sorry she wasn't enlightened enough, because I think she really could have been a way shower.
Well, just in regard to you saying that, if she was not enlightened enough, how could you put the responsibility on her to be the forerunner for the people in, you know, making an example? I think it's a bit unfair.
I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that she wasn't. But I wouldn't put it on her generation, because my point is many of the alternative healers and spiritual way showers are in her age group, you know. So I wouldn't,
yes,
I wouldn't
say, I
paint
didn't say,
that
and would
group
never
with
say
that broad a brush.
Said,
but I'm very sorry she wasn't enlightened enough to know, because, like I say, I think she could have taken the whole storyline in a different direction. Because now everybody's mourning about the martyr Elizabeth Edwards, who, by the way, knew her husband was cheating on her, and she still pushed him forward because she wanted to keep up the big front. You know, I mean, I think it's important that we really get critical about kind of falling back on there. Oh, well, she's dead, so, you know, we're going to celebrate her life, which I believe in doing. But she was a very, very flawed woman. And like I say, I'm just sorry she couldn't have made, I think, better choices for herself and those fabulous kids that she has, and be more of a way shower to people, you know, instead of just falling back into the old rut.
Well, Dawn, thank you for your input. We appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, bye-bye. Veronica.
Yes.
I love when, you know, left field things just come out from nowhere, don't you?
Well, that's
it's great.
We're here to stir it up, you know. I know, yeah. I am. Here to stir it up, here to get opinions out. And, you know, totally, I just don't judge. I just look at my life. I take care of my life. You know, and my opinion is Elizabeth Edwards inspired me. I'm not going to change that or label that. And that's cool. If Dawn felt the way she did, that's cool too. I mean, you know, that's the freedom of thought.
Absolutely. And the fact that she said life is about judgment, my experience is quite the opposite. However, I respect her enough in regard to being a human being, having this, or a spiritual being, having a human experience, to let her have her experience and not make it wrong.
Oh, totally.
You know, but judgment, see, that's the thing. What I believe in this time period, it's love that is going to get us over this hump. And love has been described as the observation without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Observation of a thing or a person, or, you know, without judgment, that you allow it to be what it is. And, you know, Elizabeth, myself, you, Dawn, we're all flawed beings, because that's what our experience is here, to learn by those flaws. So I have tremendous respect for Elizabeth and her journey, and Dawn on hers. And, you know, it's all about everyone having their own viewpoint and their own choices. You said it best, Veronica, when you brought up the fact that, you know, Elizabeth made her choice. It wasn't her responsibility to, you know, go the perceived courageous way and go an alternative. I mean, everyone has their choice. It's their life to either, you know, save or give up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, who knows what you know, and I go back, I come from a different perspective. Who knows what karmic debt she was playing out? I mean, if you want to get into that level of it, I mean, it's so deep, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I totally love other opinions because it helps open my mind. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, me too. So back to you, Miss Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
What I really dig about you is your emphasis in regard to woman and, you know, getting out of all of these paradigms of, you know, our body consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Being too thick, too thin, too, you know, does my butt look big in these pants or, you know. I'll tell you, speaking of generational things, my mother would tell a story about her mother that since she was, you know, a teenager, she would have my mother turn around, let me see your butt. Let me see how your butt looks in those pants, right? When my grandmother was on her deathbed, dying from MS,
mm-hmm.
she asked my mother in the hospital to turn around and let her see how her butt looked in those pants.
Oh,
you know, those kind of things die hard. And I think it's time that we reprogram that thinking in our mind because, you know, women, whatever size, I mean, are beautiful and especially, you know, ones with curves. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be the first to say I've got them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I use a story with my clients. I talk about when a baby elephant is born into captivity, it's tethered to a stake by a 5-foot rope.
This is a great story.
Isn't it awesome? As the elephant grows, the rope doesn't get longer. It doesn't get stronger. The elephant could easily break the rope and run away or break the rule, but it's trained not to. And as humans, the difference is we have choices and we know we can make choices. And I love that story. It's clearly articulates how we get trapped in our thoughts.
Yes. You know, there's a one that's similar about the monkey that, you know, they in the jungle, these, I don't know if they were, they couldn't have been poachers, but something to that effect. They wanted to catch these monkeys. So they would put bananas in these kind of baskets where if they put their hand in and grabbed the banana, when they made the fist, they could not get their hand out. So they would stay there long enough to be captured. If they only were to let go of the banana, they could be free.
Isn't that
so
the
sometimes
truth?
We've got to let go of the banana, girl.
I think I'm adopting that phrase. I want it on a t-shirt.
Let go of the banana.
Let go of the banana. Whatever.
And then on the other side of the shirt, what's your banana?
I love it. I love it. Let go of the banana. I will definitely be using that story.
It's the truth,
isn't it? You know, I created, well, I didn't create, Spirit downloaded to me my new program called Youology, the study of you.
Ooh, I like that.
It's a 5-week program that I empower women to live their life by design instead of by default. And it's customized work, so the client comes to me and we determine through intuition and just a brief consultation, you know, where the client's at, what they need. And then I customize a program for 5 weeks to bring the client forward, to move them. So I love youology, the study of you.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant. I love that.
That's all Spirit. I had nothing to do with it.
Well, you had a little something to do with it. You downloaded it.
Yeah, I was the hand and I'm the messenger, and that's totally all it is. I'm the messenger.
Okay, so say it once again. Repeat that. Youology is
the study of you. and it's all about you. And for 5 weeks, we look into you. We look into learned beliefs. We look into perspectives. We look into purpose. Why are you here? What is it that you desire? What's your passion? Is your passion matched with your purpose? You know,
now, what would you say to someone that's like, I don't know what my passion is?
Well, I have a tool that we dig at it. We get it. I use cards. They're called soul cards to work with my client. I work virtually because I have clients all over the world. So I email the soul cards and we get together and the client interprets the cards. So they're telling their own story. I'm holding the space for them to decide what purpose is. Plus we have a worksheet.
Well, I love that.
My famous question is, what's your foundation? You know, if I asked you, what are you built on? You know, what's your foundation? What's the core? What's at the core of who you are? And you wouldn't believe how many women come to me and they have no clue. You know, I mean, for me, I was built, and maybe still am, a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety, compassion, love, kindness, tolerance. And my core is universal energy, which I choose to label God. And it's just that simple.
Now, if you were on the other end of that and someone was asking you those questions, when you became aware of those things that were your core, mm-hmm. it would just seem, a natural unfolding that possibly a career in self-help or self-improvement, life coaching, intuitive guidance. I mean, that
Absolutely.
Would just naturally come.
What are your values? You know, we define, what are your values? We forget about values sometimes in today's world.
Here's the thing. That word has been kind of, jacked around quite a bit in terms of, quote,
for real.
Values. So,
for real.
I mean, when you say values, sometimes there's subconscious programs and flags, mm-hmm. jumping off. So what do you mean when you say values?
Well, again, going back to that foundation, every day when we wake up, each one of us, we are naturally something. Okay. And when I work with a client, we define what's your naturalness, what's natural about you, what goes with the grain when you wake up. And we look at that, and then we build a foundation on that. You know, and I hear you. You're right. Values conjures up this whole litany of, preconceived ideas. And so I try to be mindful of words and use words like foundation and core and what's meaningful to you. Because what works for you now, or what worked for you in 1985 may not work for you now. But how are you going to know if you don't look at it?
How do you deal with clients who are stuck in victim consciousness?
I loved being a victim. I was a victim for so long. Like, I loved it because, hey, I didn't have to take any ownership. You know, the truth is, and this is awful because I am working on this, I really have no tolerance for it.
Well, you know what that says is that you have got to the limit of your tolerance of you being a victim. So anytime you see it in someone else, it's like
Amen.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Amen. Amen. And here's the deal. You pay me. You're paying me. And so I have to be sure that the client that comes to me really wants change. You know, I'm loving, I'm gentle, I'm kind, I'm compassionate. But, I can kick your ass if you need it. And really, sometimes that's what my clients need, not in a sadistic kind of way, but.
Thank you, ma'am. May I have another?
Yeah, no dominatrix stuff here, just that's extra.
No, but it's true. Not the dominatrix stuff, but it's true that, I'll say anyone that's probably worked with me will tell you, I just say it like it is, and I can't be any other way. And mm-hmm. if you really are wanting to own that unfinished business, sometimes mm-hmm. it's not you know, fairy dust and puffy cloud kind of stuff, you know, because that shit hurts.
For real.
It really does. That unfinished business is no joke. It really is painful. And it's got a lot of energetic backdrop to it. So you need, you know, most times to just battle it like a warrior.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and conquer it. But you can get to the other side. But you, like you said, you know, the tolerance level, if you just think about it, if you have a lot of tolerance for victim consciousness, how long do you think you're going to stay in victim consciousness with a high tolerance? You know, like how they say, we have a no tolerance policy.
Yeah.
You know, likely there wouldn't be any victim consciousness or very little.
Well, I like to refer to myself as a recovering narcissist.
You said that earlier. That was really hilarious.
Yeah, I'm a recovering narcissist. I totally get that whole, you know, there isn't a place that you've been that I haven't been.
And, you know, how did you come to that? How, I mean, because the thing about a narcissist, I mean, the last thing that they're going to, you know, be aware of, much less admit, is that they're a narcissist. How did you get to that real epiphany, if you will?
Well, you know, you hit bottom. Okay, you're down there, you're going to kill yourself, you're careening, you hit bottom, and then all of a sudden you see the light or feel the warmth, and I climbed out of the pit on, and this is going to be a very unpopular statement, but here I go, I climbed out of the pit on Christianity. Okay, you know,
dun, 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 dun.
Oh, please, send hate mail to Tambourine.
I think Dawn is calling back. I'm just kidding.
I climbed out on Christianity. You know, how dare you? And, you know, I've been shunned by the Christians now because I don't adopt that theory. But I climbed out and I said, okay, I'm fixed and I'll fix your ass if you don't see it this way. Here's the Bible. This is the way it is. I mean, you know, that's figuratively, but, and guess what? I got pushed back down.
Oh, I'm sure.
So down I went and, you know, climbed out again. And then the last time I went down with past indiscretions coming in my face, I climbed out on compassion and love and family support and humility. I climbed out the right way that enabled me to have a strong foundation. I don't like labels. You know, do I believe in Jesus? Yeah. Do I believe in Buddha? Yeah. Do I believe in all paths? Hey, amen. Whatever gets you where you're going.
Right. And I'll say that the one common thread is compassion of all those mm-hmm. masters, you know, and all those things that you've been through and climbed out of. Anytime you come across someone that is treading that road, what could you not have but compassion, because you've done it. You've gotten to that place. So you have, do not have compassion for the one that's still in it. And that in itself is healing.
Absolutely. I've been Elizabeth Edwards. I've been in that situation. I made the decision to stand by. I made the decision to make a life work. I courageously chose to stand there. So I can understand that. That's my perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a valid one.
Yeah. And that, you know what? If I woke up with a diagnosis tomorrow, you know, of terminal so-and-so, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, I'm going to get in the corner. I'm going to cry. I'm going to suck my thumb. I'm going to rock. I'm going to go, why me? Bitch, moan, carry on. And then I'm going to figure out what to do from there. I don't know what I do. I just know that I like the ability to have the choice and to have the thought to have the choice.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, you know, I think when Dawn said that, you know, it would have inspired, you know, all the people to go that alternative route, I think, you know, that kind of takes the responsibility of the same responsibility that would be put on Elizabeth to, you know, be the way show to everyone else. Each and every one of us has that own personal responsibility you know, to attract into our lives, what those choices are. So, you know, I think, again, you know, we're all in it together. We all choose the experience and reality that we have. And I think that when we really understand that, then the judgment becomes less and less and the compassion increases. So with that, I'm going to close the show. We're running out of time now, but not without telling you how much I appreciate your authenticity and your realness and your courage to be able to just be so real, you know, and just, you know, make available what your gifts are to those who are seeking them. I honor you, and I thank you so much, Veronica, for spending this time with us tonight.
Thank you, sweetheart. I had a blast.
And please keep us updated and come back anytime you want to.
For sure. Have a great night.
Thank you, sweetheart. And everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight. And thanks.